Good evening. It is 6 o'clock. Welcome to this meeting of Rydale District Council's Planning Committee. May I welcome members of the public, the press and fellow members. We're not expecting any fire alarms, so if the alarm does go off, it is for real. The exits are on the way you came in and out of the door behind me to the right and congregate in the car park at the top. Ladies and gents, toilets are out in the corridor and water is also available in the corridor. Could everyone please make sure that the mobile phones are switched off or on silent? We do have a number of speakers tonight, and each speaker will have 3 minutes to speak, and I will give an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. And do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Thank you. Now move on to the agenda. Apologies for absence, please.
There have been apologies from Councillors Thornton, Cleary and Frank. Councillors Jay Andrews, Cousins and Raper will substitute.
Thank you. Move on to the minutes of the meeting held on the 2nd of August 2016. I'll move those minutes from the Chair. Do I have a seconder for them? Thank you. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, please show. That's 9 in favour and 1 abstention. Agenda item 3 is urgent business. I have no urgent business. Agenda item 4 is declarations of interest. Councillor Hope.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, item 12 have been lobbied and it's personal and non-prejudicial.
Thank you. Councillor Raper.
Yes, Chairman, I've received emails on the items for Talbot Hotel.
Thank you. That'll be 8, 9, 10 and 11. Councillor Mrs Farnell.
Item 6, personal non-prejudicial non-pecuniary interests have been lobbied. And item 18, again, personal non-prejudicial non-pecuniary as a member of Sinsley South Elm and Frighton Parish Council, although I wasn't at the meeting when they put their letter of no objection in on the consultation.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs Goodrick, do you have any declarations?
Mr Chairman, yes I do, but I'm struggling to find which item it is. I beg your pardon. It was the one to do with the kennels.
Item 13, Winteringham Common Farm.
That's the one. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Councillor Andrews.
Sorry. Item number 16, personal prejudicial, and I shall be leaving the room for this one.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And I myself have been lobbied on agenda item 6. Personal non-prejudicial. Thank you. Sorry, Councillor Cousins.
Number six, Michael Pickering. That one, personal non-prejudicial.
Okay, thank you. So we now move on to the schedule of items to be determined by committee. Agenda item 6, application number 16/00346, major outline environmental. Application site is land north of Outgang Lane, Pickering. The proposal is for a hybrid planning application comprising 1, application for full planning permission for a 5,127 square metre purpose built production unit B2 use on the eastern area of land to the south of Thornton Road Industrial Estate with associated infrastructure comprising construction of access road from Thorntondale Industrial Estate, car parking, servicing, drainage works and landscaping. 2, application for outline planning permission for the erection of 5,900 square metre of business units B1 use and 5,990 square metres of industrial units B2 use on the land to the south of Thornton Road Industrial Estate, western portion of the site.
Thank you, Chairman. Well done for getting through all that description. For ease of reference, Chairman, we did, as members will have seen from the main agenda papers, when the agenda went to bed, we were still waiting for quite a number of responses back. So for ease of reference on the late pages, we've done a full version of the report rather than you flicking backwards and forwards between the two. We thought that would be helpful. And in addition to the full report that is on the start of the late pages, Chairman, we've also received some further information following that, most relevant really relating to the response from North Yorkshire County Council Highways, which we got yesterday, which was somewhat of a relief. But actually the gist of the Highway Authority's response that we got yesterday was that they're raising no objection to the scheme, subject to further mitigation, which would largely be dealt with through a travel plan requirement, which would be a conditional requirement of the planning permission. They did highlight the need for the red line extension to the emergency access road, which would go to the west of the site to Outgang Lane, which has already been amended and is on the main agenda papers. And the other main comment that they made would be that parking provision would need to be in line with the county council standards, which of course would be the case. So at this stage we still await their fully worded condition, Chairman, but they're raising no objection. Members will also have seen on the late pages a response from the IDB, the Internal Drainage Board, and the Internal Drainage Board equally are not raising any objection to the scheme, but members will probably be aware that there's quite an extensive network of drains in the vicinity of the site, particularly Outgang Drain, parts of which are not in the finest state of repair. There will be some additional surface water runoff from the scheme, and as a result of that, a contribution is sought from the IDB. Some details of that are on the late pages, Chairman, but the case officer has asked for further confirmation of the areas that they made the calculation from. As members will appreciate, it's a part, it's what we would term a hybrid application. It's part full application, part outline. So we just want to check the assumptions that have been made in relation to the site areas, particularly in relation to the outline scheme. That aside, Chairman, clearly this is a scheme that, as officers, we're very happy to receive, Chairman. In broader terms, Pickering's one of those locations where we have in the past, through the local planning process, sometimes had problems getting industrial and commercial land coming forward in Pickering, and actually, as members will see from the photographs that I'm about to show you, that this, to some extent, feels a logical extension of the Pickering Thornton Road industrial estate, which has already gone through two phases. The particular nuance and sensitivity in this location is we have an enormous population of great crested newts, and quite a lot of the conditions that are recommended are somewhere along the line to deal with protection of newts, navigation routes and migration routes. But in terms of the conditions that are the details of which we haven't given you, but to give you the feel for what they are, they are the usual sort of time commencement conditions, materials, landscaping and boundary details, highway conditions as advised when we receive them, Chairman, but then quite a number of conditions relating to either enhancement of local ecology, maintenance of ecological matters in perpetuity, landscape management plans linked to that, and details also of matters such as drainage basins, underpasses for the great crested newts so they can get under the roads, Chairman. And then quite a number of what we would call almost standard conditions relating to industrial developments. The other nuance that you'll probably have seen, which is more a design issue, but I think it was, you know, something promoted by the applicants, was the separation of the ancillary development into B1 and B2 uses and locating those in the least sensitive areas, because obviously, as members will be aware, B1 uses are light industrial uses, whereas B2, is all the rest, Chairman, the general industrial uses, and although this site is located some way from the town, the noisier uses are located towards the eastern end. So I'll just show you some photographs of the vicinity for those members who aren't familiar with the locality. This is the entrance off the A170 into, this is the A170 in the foreground, so you're turning into the oldest part of the site. And that's the view down towards what was phase two. It's pretty much all built out at the moment now. And so this is the internal access road within phase two. Members will probably recall this was the site where we dealt with the Land Rover dealership not too long ago. But there's a turn-off just here, and that is the access into the site, which forms phase three. So it's a fairly logical sort of route in, Chairman. So again, this is... I'll myself on the drawings now. You haven't done a number four for me. Oh, sorry, this is off... This is off Outgang Lane. This is from the west. This is looking into the site. And this is looking across. So you're looking across the gas site to immediately to the south of the site, Chairman, in this area here. The rest of these sites, photographs, are just respective views panning around the site. I think the one thing that you do notice as you're within the development site itself and you pan around is quite how well screened it is. So this boundary peripheral screening is actually in some parts quite tall, which is quite useful because the taller parts of the full building, as members will have noted from the committee report, is actually quite substantial. Silotech, most members will probably know as Micrometalsmiths as well, so it's the same business. So I hope that gives you a flavour of the locality, and this again is looking back at the gas transfer station. That's just a close-up of the existing buildings on the site. Happy to take any questions, Chairman. I'm aware that we do have a speaker that's the agent.
Thank you. Yeah, we do have the speaker, the agent, David Bolton. Okay, you've got 3 minutes and I'll give you a 30-second audible warning.
Thank you, Chair. My name is David Bolton. I'm the agent for the application. I'm also here in conjunction with Charlie Breeze, who's the MD of Silotech. Just demonstrates that really this application is the culmination of many, many months of close liaison between ourselves and officers of the council and interaction with the local communities which will be affected by the proposals prior to the submission of the application that's now before you. The resultant application is a comprehensive scheme for the creation of a new state-of-the-art production facility for Silotech, which will help retain and reinforce the significant positive contribution that this business makes to the local economy. The proposals have the magnified benefit of enabling the realisation of further employment land for development by way of the outline planning permission as well. The proposals have been accompanied by a comprehensive and convincing suite of assessments and supporting documentation which clearly justify the proposals that are before you. The new Silotech building, has been noted as being a substantial structure, is designed to accommodate the new gravity-fed production process. It ensures no adverse impact in environmental terms, noise, odour, pollution, etc., and minimises landscape impact, set, as you've seen, within an extensive landscape site. We have proactively sought to liaise with highway officers as part of the emergence of the proposals, with limited cooperation arising, I must say. Nevertheless, the comments now received clearly raise no objection in principle to the overall scheme, a recommendation that would not be forthcoming lightly if there were an underlying issue. The traffic management measures requested are practicable and should be a prerequisite of any major development scheme in any event in order to minimise the need to travel, all fairly reasonable requirements. In terms of drainage, there is further work to be done to clarify the full extent of improvements to accommodate this development, but again, there is no objection in principle and a positive way forward is evident. The presence of newts, and there are many, in the locality has been fully considered and mitigation measures agreed to enhance local habitat as a result of the development. All of the above may be resolved and clarified through further liaison with officers, statutory bodies, and appropriately dealt with by the mechanisms of planning conditions as officers recommend. The proposals adhere to the local plan strategy in scope and nature, the evolving allocations document. There is no conflict with the existing or emerging development plan and no objections from statutory consultees or the local community. Members should be aware of the obligation to support sustainable development and to grant planning permission without delay, especially where there is no demonstrable harm and the planning benefits are so significant. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed, Gary, you said that there was extensive tree coverage around the site to protect views. And my first question is this within the control and ownership of the company that they are surrounding? Because we had extensive tree coverage at Sandhutton with the anaerobic digester, and they've chopped them all down.
I think if members are able to look at the plans that are back on the main agenda papers, you get a feel for the extent of the site. In addition to the peripheral scheme, the scheme is proposing quite a lot of additional planting as well in this instance, so I'm fairly happy in my own mind that the screening of the edge of the, particularly the Thornton approach to this site, is not only retained but enhanced in that sense. So if you look on page 21, 22 onwards, I think you see the approach to the landscaping of the site.
Any more questions? Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. Can we ask Highways or someone to get a better sign for Thornton Road Industrial Estate? I used to take my grandchildren to the soft play area there, and a number of times suddenly I realised I was there, and having to sort of slow down them quicker than I should really have done so on that road, very busy road. If you look at that very first photograph you had up there, if we could see that again, please. There. What is it? You know, it's just a right mess. And so I think... whoever's responsible for the site, you know, they should have a bit of pride in it and just tidy it up a bit.
Chairman, we can pass that message on to county.
Although there are some county councillors in the room who may wish to
well,
maybe make that comment to their authority.
Cleaning material.
What can I say? I think that particular sign probably says it all, but it's not something that really that we can relate to this development in itself. I mean, clearly there's an industrial estate there that if it requires better signage, we can pass that message on behalf of the committee.
To a stranger, it's not all that clear that it is an industrial estate. It's on a bend, so you're watching the road, and it is a busy road, and suddenly, wow, should have been down there. So let's have a better sign, please.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? Councillor Roper, please.
Just another comment to follow on from Councillor Morder said, while we're at it, if we're going to start making suggestions about what can be done at that particular junction there, there's a bus stop at either side of that road there, and there's no lay-by for buses to pull off the stream of traffic that's coming through there, and as you say, it is a fairly busy piece of road. If something can be suggested to County that they might consider at some point, if this industrial unit is approved tonight, which I'm pretty sure it will be, that mitigation should be taken seriously about getting vehicles that are stopping there, rather large vehicles, and take them out of the line of the traffic. Thank you.
Chairman, we're probably straying beyond the brief of the planning application, but I think, you know, clearly we can, you know, we can pass these messages on and hope that the area office takes notice of them.
Thank you. Any more questions? No? Okay, we'll move to the local or localist member. I think that's you, Joy.
I've looked at the plans, we discussed it at Town Council, and we are very much in favour of this development going ahead, creating jobs and more business development within Pickering. So I'm very pleased to vote for, to move. Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I'd like to second the ward member. I think this is something that Rydale District Council would welcome. And apart from, obviously, the signage that's been brought up and the lay-bys, which is a county matter, maybe Councillor Sanderson would like to take that up, I don't know. This, you'll have a word with her. Thank you. I think it's something that we need to pass. Obviously, the economic viability is very important, but it keeps jobs in and it keeps people from travelling away. So I'd like to second the ward member.
Thank you. Anybody else? Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd echo what both previous speakers have said. We'd be mad not to accept this. It's a golden opportunity. It's a site that can't be used for much else, and isn't has no objection from the local community, which is a surprise in recent times. If it has the backing, or the tacit backing, by no objections from community, we'll be mad not to accept this. And it's creating jobs, and as I say, the mileage is going to be reduced by people living in the local community and travelling to those jobs. I'm quite happy, from what I've read in the short time of being able to have a read at this, been dragged in as a substitute at the last moment. It's got green lights all the way. And as a member of the Drainage Board, I can understand where they're coming from. And there's a particular runoff rate that they want to achieve on the liquids are leaching from that site, that they're not exceeded as to what is currently occurring. And if we can keep within those parameters, they have no objections and no concerns. And as for the enhancements that are going to be for the newts, well, it sounds like they're going to be happy as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll keep it brief because I'm basically going to echo what my colleagues have said. The main priority of this council is economic development. I think it's really important that we support all of our businesses in the district who are here and working, providing jobs. So I'm delighted to support Micrometals in this matter.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Sorry, that's unanimous. It is approved. Thank you. Now move on to agenda item 7, application number 16/01022/73, variation to a major application. The application site is Wumbleton Caravan Park, Moorfields Lane, Wumbleton. Proposal is for the variation of condition 5 of approval 11/01189/73, dated the 3rd of the 2nd 2012, to allow all year opening of the caravan park for the static holiday units and the seasonal touring caravans, and removal of condition 7 of the same approval to allow all caravans to remain on the pitches as necessary.
Thank you, Chair. There's no further updates on this application. It's only being brought to members because the size of the application site means it's a major application. I think the Parish Council have raised no objection to it, subject to the relevant conditions in terms of residential occupation. I'll just flick through the photographs just to give members an understanding of the site. So that's a current touring caravans, of which they're seeking to retain. I think it's more to seek the option to retain them for all year-round occupation rather than definitely have them. It just gives them a bit more flexibility, especially in line with the other adjacent land uses, which we've recently given planning permission for, holiday lodges to the north and to the east of the application site. It's a bit dark, but this is the boundary to the site. So just on the other side of that site is Wumbleton Airfield, but actually that is the site for the holiday lodges, which was given consent quite recently. Again, that just shows the boundary hedge there. Just to give an idea of the layout of the site. That's the current access. This is an access road. And then this is a very zoomed in image, because this is the only point on the road looking onto the site. You just about make out some glimpses of some white things just between the hedges. But apart from this one gap, which is the access to the airfield from the other side of the road, it's heavily screened. There's additional landscape being put in place for the lodges development as well. So we recommend an approval.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Oh, okay, we'll move to the local member. That's Councillor Cousins.
I move officer recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. The theme tonight seems to be economic viability and sustainability. Look, we're at a stage in Rydale that we really do want to promote tourism. We don't want to promote tourism just for, say, a few months of the year. We want it to be all round. So to do what the applicants want is a really sensible situation, and I would like to support the ward member. So I'll second that.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote. Someone hasn't voted. Oh, no, we have. Okay, thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Move on to agenda item 8, application number 16/00054. Full. The application site is the Talbot Hotel and York House, Yorkers Gate, Malton. The proposal is for the erection of Lincoln Extension between the Talbot Hotel and York House, comprising of a basement level event hall with ground floor level dining hall above, regrading and reconstruction of the terraced garden to the south of York House to allow for outdoor events, change of use and alteration of York House to form additional guest bedrooms and associated facilities for the Talbot Hotel, together with demolition of outbuilding walls and toilet block.
Thank you, Chairman. I think we're set out to test you with descriptions of development tonight, which is probably as long as I've ever seen, I think. Members will already be aware of the various plans around the room. And in fact, tonight we've got four applications all on the same site, the associated planning and listed building applications. And in fact, slightly the wrong way around, really, but we first had the submission of what is the end scheme, and there's a model of that behind members on the right-hand side of the room there. And also, we also have on items 10 and 11, Chairman, the temporary scheme, which is just shown in some of the plans on this last section here on the wall, which is for a temporary marquee and toilet facilities and things of that nature, which we'll come on to later. But the first scheme and the first planning application is the one that is on all of the plans, and it's unfortunate that the drawing that's most out of sight, probably more visible for members of the public, shows on plan form the detail, or much of the detail, of the linking structure, which is shown on the three-dimensional model behind Councillor Farnell over the way. And essentially what that is a linking structure which links the Talbot Hotel to York House. And those of you who have been members long enough will appreciate that York House is a magnificent Grade 2-star listed building, pretty much in the centre of the town. But I think I've been here since 2002, and I don't really think it's had any permanent use in all of that time, and I think the estate of the applicants have done things over the time to make the building sound and watertight, and there have been various cosmetic alterations to the front and removal of various bits and pieces around the building, and I think we've had lime washing in the relatively recent past. So I'm sure when I show you the photographs in a minute, if you don't know where York is now, York House is now, you'll immediately recognise it. And this scheme is part and parcel, really, of a, and I hope this comes out in the report, of a commitment to that part of town, which some members will be on this planning committee who dealt with the enhancement of the Talbot Hotel scheme. And we had a site visit at the time and a really good walk around that site before what happened then there has happened. And when you look at the Talbot now, it's completely transformed. But not just the Talbot Hotel, also the Talbot Yard on the opposite side of the road. So it's part and parcel of a bigger commitment to sort of reinvesting in the into these really magnificent buildings. So in terms of really what we're looking at now at the moment, if members are able to see the drawing that is actually on the wall here, you get a feel for how substantial the buildings are. And it's a collection of buildings. It's not all one style of buildings. York House number 41, then there's a slight gap, you go to number 43, which is actually forming part of the Talbot Hotel, but actually is a distinct building, has a distinct listing, before you then get on to the main part of what most people would regard as the Talbot Hotel as you approach the town from the York direction. As members will see from the report, because of the nature of the application, because of the calibre of the buildings, because of the grading status of the listed buildings, we have consulted with all of the amenity bodies. We've consulted with Heritage England, as they now are. And I think it's fair to say at the outset there were some concerns because we had the plans, but maybe not all of the understanding and the justification for the scheme. More information has come forward, and as a result of that, we've gone back out and consulted with the amenity bodies again. I think it's quite significant that Heritage England now support the scheme, and I hope that again has come out from the agenda papers. Our conservation officer equally is very supportive of the scheme, and subject to the usual sort of detailed conditions, is happy to recommend approval to the scheme. It hasn't been all one-way traffic, as you'll have seen from some of the comments, notably SPAB and the Georgian Group, who initially have raised objections, and they're set out in the committee report. But I think I must state that we have then reconsulted those organisations when we've had the further information received, and we've not received any further responses. So to that extent, we've not had any further response to say whether or not they actually remove or now remove their objection or now support the scheme. So what you have on the agenda paper, Chairman, is what we've got. Certainly the balance of current thinking from Historic England and your own conservation officer is one very much of support, and that the scheme as drawn is a good solution, and a good solution for a building which is a difficult building to find a use for, and we desperately need to do that, because any building when it's not in use, Chairman, suffers, and this building is too important not to find a use for. There is only one late comment, Chairman, and it's from a resident of number 5 Riverside View, which is actually just over the river into Norton, and that is not an outright objection of sorts, Chairman, but expressing some concerns about control over events that might take place in the building relating to noise and lighting and the like. And what we have continued to do, Chairman, is to negotiate and communicating even as late as yesterday and today in terms of how those controls would go forward. So what I wanted to do, Chairman, is just give members a flavour of what those conditions will cover, because they are many and numerous. And in addition to the normal, very detailed materials and detailed conditions that you would expect in relation to a building of this calibre, there are quite a number of conditions relating to control over noise matters. So a noise survey is required. A noise management plan has been agreed, or submitted to be agreed, Chairman. In terms of the controls over amplified music, Chairman, controls over noise and activities after 12 midnight, those sorts of things, which members who are familiar with the area will obviously appreciate this is in the town and there are other commercial uses going on, but nevertheless we've been able to, through discussion, come up with these levels of details which your own environmental health officer is happy with, Chairman. So I think the late letter that we'd had was not outright objecting, it was just wanting to make sure that there was adequate control over the amenity issues that might otherwise arise. And there are other detailed conditions, Chairman, but in essence, their detailed ones relating to archaeology and things of that nature. So I don't want to say an awful lot more now, Chairman. What I'd like to do is just show you some photographs of the building and the locality. And obviously that's a site that's probably familiar to you all from York Road, which is the main entrance into the hotel and the car parking area. And this is a view slightly further along York Road. So this is actually listed as number 43. It's linked to the Talbot Hotel, but as you can see, a very different building. And then in the background there, you get a glimpse of York House. So York House is the Grade 2 star building. And as you move around, you can see there's a slight gap in between the two buildings at the moment, and the proposal effectively creates a rendered lime washed wall in this area here, which is shown on the back of that model over there, if you turn it round. And beyond it, you would see a glimpse of the dome, but that's about as much as you would see from York Road. And this is the view from the opposite, well, where the box junction is on York Road, just looking back across. So this building here would come out as part of the scheme, and you've got a link or a screen wall just here with what you would have is essentially a view of the dome just peeping above the wall. So it's actually best shown on the far plan at the far end of the wall there. And this is going backwards up the street into the marketplace. So it gives you a feel of where you are on Market Street there. We're going backwards up the street, so you're still getting a good view of York House and a glimpsed view of the hotel behind. And even further up Market Street, again, all you have here is a view of York House, and in essence, that's the view that you still have. So you're not having that view affected to any large degree. And as you can see, that the house, York House, is in sound order, but it's not in active use. And so that's what this scheme is seeking to do. This is a more close-up view of that little building here that I was showing you earlier. And I think there's a drawing somewhere which shows the building. So can you see the light on the wall? It shows these incidental bits of building that actually would be removed as part of the scheme. And these steps, however, are kept. So that's one of the comments that the report picks up. And this is a view further along to the side of York House. Again, this is leading down towards Oston's Wharf on the riverside. So the river's at the bottom of this, and you can see in the distance the riverside view development that I referred to earlier. So that's the other side and over the river into Norton. Some of the event car parking would be situated in this area, and I'm not sure if I can show you that. Yes, so that's in this area here. So that's in that area there. So the other event car parking is largely located in the existing car park. And this is a view of the boundary wall that links along to the side of that area. And again, a gate would be going in there. And just some views. This is the area which would be used for the temporary kitchens. So that's part of the second application. But I'm going to show you the photos once, Chairman. I won't put you through the pain of doing this four times. This is a view from the grounds behind I'll say York House, but when I pan around, you'll see it in more detail. This, you can appreciate the quite significant change in levels when you get down almost to heading off towards the river there. So this is the main part of the hotel. And this is panning across. So again, you get more of a feel for the complete mix and match of building styles that's happened over the years. It's not one type of building, and the extension feature actually would sit in this area here. So at this point, the extension very much is subordinate. Everything's quite substantial on either side. And panning around, this is coming back, and you can just catch a glimpse of York House behind this retaining wall and bit of planting. And this is the garden area behind York House. So again, you get a feel for the change in levels. So again, York House is very, very distinct, and the extension area, the linking extension area, is in this area. Again, it's sort of difficult to take a good photograph at this point, Chairman, but you get a feel for the imposing nature of York House, which really is a spectacular property, but currently vacant. And this is a view from the higher level back down. So you've got York House, this is the Ocean's Wharf here, river just beyond. That's the boundary wall, the stone boundary wall I was showing you, adjacent to the car parking area. This is the garden area immediately behind York House, and this is behind the hotel. So again, you're stepping down in a series of terraces. I don't think there's a lot more I can add at the moment, Chairman. That was really to give you some more context information, because I appreciate the drawings can be sometimes a little difficult to interpret, Chairman. But I hope the model also has helped members.
Thank you. We do have a speaker, is the applicant, Mr. Garland. Please. Okay, again, you've got 3 minutes, and I'll give you a 30-second right. audible warning.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll be very brief, and just to add to what Gary has said earlier on about the development, we've tried to get a professional team involved to look after the historic environment of York House, which has been left kept wind and watertight for quite some time, and we're trying to find a use for it. In bringing this building back into use for this venue, it brings back into the public demeanour the York House building itself. It puts right some of the structure that we've got in the roof, and it really doesn't alter the York House appearance of the historic environment that much. The design of the infill building has been kept to a de minimis scale from the back and the front, so that we've tried to blend it in evenly, and as evidenced by the sketches and the models. A couple of things I'd just like to add about the noise and the development of a noise strategy. We have agreed that with the council that should this seek approval, we will get involved an expert in noise management and develop the noise management plan to minimise. We in the estate do not want to affect the environment that we're sat in, and so we're trying to bring the noise management plan forward to protect both ourselves and the surrounding inhabitants of the buildings, to make sure that we can set a level that's acceptable to all. And I think pretty much most of the conditions that we've seen so far have been reasonably well worded. There's one or two minor tweaks that need to be looked at from the wording on the management plan. But in effect, the building hopefully will bring employment to the area and bring back York House into public demeanour and use once again. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Just on car parking spaces, please. I just wondered how many extra car parking spaces we have actually got from this application.
It's not so much extra spaces as spaces made available for when events are on. So they're managed spaces. I mean, in that sense, the Highway Authority have looked at this and looked at its location, town centre, and taken on board the arguments that, you know, some people will use transport to get here, some people won't all be staying at the hotel, some people will be at the hotel when there are events on. So the plan that you see on the wall behind you with the cerise blocks is really showing extended areas of car parking which are on the existing site, but also adjacent to I don't remember the name of the place now, but to the east of York House, when you're going down the hill, that's where much of the temporary parking will go. And when there's an event on, that will be the managed parking area.
Thank you.
I can't give you a precise number off the top of my head.
I appreciate
managed.
That. And that is a shame, really, that you can't give me a precise number. But I think what you're saying is that parking will be made available by the applicants when events are on. There will be plenty of car parking spaces.
Well, what I can say to you is that the applicants are managing event parking. Okay. In terms of what the event parking is shown on that plan there, which is the purple drawing. Mm. We've consulted with the Highway Authority and said, are you happy with that amount of provision in this town centre location? And they're coming back to us saying, yes, they are. Mm. So that's the response that we've had. To me, it looks like a sensible arrangement, but I'm not a highway engineer, so I wouldn't pretend to understand the nuances of how they calculate how many people will walk, how many people will be staying in other hotels or coming by train or bus or whatever.
Thank you. If I could just come back, Chairman. I'm just thinking that, you know, Malton is having a fantastic boom in the food markets, etc. And the last thing we want to do is to say we didn't take account of this business expanding and coping with the expansion of Malton. I think that's just what, as the ward member, I want to make sure that we have got opportunities for more car parking spaces. And I do feel quite confident, because the applicants own the land at the side, that if we did find that this business was really, really getting busy and needed more, I think that in my mind I could say, well, there is an opportunity to create more parking spaces. So that's my question, Gary, because sometimes on this committee, us councillors don't sometimes agree with North York County Council Highways.
I'm just reminding myself of the report, because I knew I'd read a number somewhere and I was trying to find it. I was asking the question and I should have waited. The actual number which can be accommodated is 45 cars. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodwick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed in the papers, I think it's page 107, that there'd been a response from someone who was quite professional about a tunnel under the service yard, which was pre-Roman or underneath the Roman horizons. Are we losing that? Is that worth keeping? Is it archaeologically important? What's the situation with that?
I think the situation there is there's an awful lot of speculation as to the age of some of these tunnels, which some of them would have it Roman, some of them would have it Victorian. I think the archaeologists are happy with what's being proposed. I think that's the main thing. But clearly there are a series of tunnels that are maybe of indifferent age and until properly investigated. Well, part of that investigation is likely to happen through the archaeological work. And if we don't grant permission, then nobody will ever know. But I think there are likely, under Malton and Norton, to be quite a number of tunnels that maybe some people don't even know where they are. Maybe we don't know where they all are. So archaeology, we're drifting into archaeology when you get to those sorts of questions, are a matter of investigation and further research, Chairman.
If we do find something significant, is it our intention to protect it?
The list of draft conditions is currently standing at 28, Chairman. gives you an idea of where we've got to. But I think it was conditions 8, 9 and 10 are actually dealing with written schemes of investigation and subsequent carrying out of works, and then following the site investigation, assess further assessment. So what tends to happen is that it's a risk-based approach to archaeology. But put bluntly, until that work is done in part, you're never really sure what you're going to get until you get in there. So if things of interest are found, and I'm not suggesting it would be a wet wang chariot, Chairman, but you know, then clearly the reaction to the level of fines or recordings, more often than not, it tends to be recording of what's found rather than anything truly exciting or earth shattering. But you never know.
Thank you. Any more questions, Councillor Hope?
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. The events, there was a worry of a noise and that. I'm sure it'll come under the licensing department. We'll keep an eye on that.
Well, Chairman, licensing is a separate control regime, so not necessarily so. I mean, clearly planning has to deal with matters of amenity, and licensing deals with quite a number of matters. But clearly the sensitivities are there in the sense that it's sort of in a mixed area and with potentially little in between in terms of built form and barriers between it and say development on the south side of the river. But all I can say to you, Chairman, is that that's been looked at length by the case officer and environmental health, who've come up with quite a number of conditions to control that relating to noise survey and then a management plan. But beyond that, detailed discussions have gone down even to the type of sound system that might be used in parts of the site, particularly with the next application in relation to the marquee. Some quite bewildering advances in speaker technology that mean that, they're downward facing, and if you're out of where they're directed, you can have a normal conversation. So it's staggering, how things have evolved. So, but yes, there are a number of conditions relating to noise control.
Any more questions? No? Okay, we'll move to the local member, Councillor Mrs. Burr, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Firstly, maybe I should have said that I had a non-peculiar interest because I do use the Talbot, so we'll get that one out of the way. Secondly, I think I should start by thanking the planning team and the applicants for spending an awful lot of time and effort, dedication and detail and bringing this application for us tonight to look at. As you can see by the plans on the wall and the model behind you, how much effort has actually gone into this. And obviously, it's because of the fabulous building that we're talking about. I think we should really start with the economic viability of Moulton. And as I've been saying, Moulton is, as has been said today, Area Committee, the capital of Rydale. And we want to do everything in our power to make Moulton a success. And we don't want to have any buildings within Moulton, be it buildings above a shop or empty shops. We want to try and make them all thrive, which will enhance the town, economic viability, residents will be happy. If people can shop and enjoy their town, they hopefully won't want to go out and about as much. So I absolutely welcome this building being brought back into use. On a different note, I am sad that it's been such a long time, Gary, and I have sat on this planning committee for a long time. So, yes, we have sat and we've looked at the building and scratched our heads and wondered what to do with it. But I guess with a building like this, it needs an awful lot of money, dedication and effort to actually make it all work and the jigsaw fit. We must remember that although we have these beautiful buildings and we do want to restore and keep them, what we've got to do is also use them and make them fit for the 21st century. As has been said very eloquently, that yes, we can make them look nice, but if we don't actually use them, that you absolutely, what is the point of having it there? So it's brilliant that the applicants have actually come forward with this scheme. As has been said, it's one of four, and this is the big one, so then they get less and less and less. So I won't be repeating myself time and time again. But yes, really pleased that the Talbot, obviously a lot of money was invested in the Talbot, and really pleased that they have the confidence with their business to actually spend the money and expand and provide Moulton with a venue like this, which is needed. Particularly keen, I've always been keen on the gardens behind the building, which really, unless you go to park down there, which nobody really does, you never actually can see the gardens. And from the scheme that we've got, the gardens are going to be absolutely splendid. So that will hopefully let more and more people see and use the gardens. So I'm really, really pleased about that. So I absolutely am delighted, in fact, doubly delighted to say, please support me and hope that you will all support this application, because It's a massive investment. It's absolutely what we want. It's saying to everybody, you know, there is confidence in the town. There is confidence in Rydale. Surely, if people come to stay here, they will go out into our villages, into Pickering, into Kirby. You know, hopefully it will be good for everybody. So I'm delighted. I'd like to move this application, and I'm sure that you'll all be supportive of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Roper, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I well remember our site visit to this location when the Talbot came forward for its revamp. And we had the pleasure of being introduced and shown around, even only to the outside of York House, and also the rear areas. I could run out of superlatives on what I think about this particular scheme. It's been long overdue, but there's the reason for that, and there are many, economics being one of the main ones. It's an expansion of the business. I can see that it's been a sympathetic expansion. I congratulate the team that's put this together. It's sympathetic to its surroundings. It's not the atrium at the back isn't going to be dominant. It's going to be minuscule in comparison to the size of the other buildings around it. It's subservient. That fits with planning policies. I could lose myself in a lot of rhetoric, same as you did, on praise for this particular scheme. It does bring back that building. I've long thought, ever since I've moved to this area, that was a waste of a building. And what could you do to bring it back? I long to see that place in use. People will pay a grand price to go and stay in there as a hotel resident. So I am going to second you on your wish to have this development take place with pride. As I say, we're not superlatives. I think I'll shut up. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Mr. Shue.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I'm very pleased to know that York House is going to be used at long last. At times I've driven Still Drive down Market Street, and you have to wait for traffic to come down Yorkers Gate, and there's plenty of time to look at that house and see really how sad it is at the moment, because what it needs is people in it, and that is what's going to happen here. I think this is a really excellent scheme. I think it's very imaginative. I know an enormous amount of work has gone into it, but all those concerned should be very pleased, because I think this is a really superb use of a house, and joining it with the hotel, a very good one as well. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I echo the sentiments of my colleagues around the room this evening. It fits very well with the principal aim of this council, which is economic development. It protects and enhances a listed building, which frankly has been a jewel in the crown, which has been covered over for some time because it's just not been used and utilised as it should be. So I'm very delighted to be able to support the application this evening.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Oh, okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Agenda item number 9, the application number is 16/00055, and it's listed building consent for the previous application.
Chairman, I wasn't intending to do a presentation on this particular item. It's essentially the listed building equivalent of the planning application. I think Mr. Garland had been registered to speak for this item, but I think it probably was number 10 that was the temporary one. So I think with that in mind, as long as Mr. Garland can speak for item 10, yep. We'll be good.
Any questions? No. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Obviously, this is regarding the listed building, and as we've said, and we've looked at the plans, it's all going to be very sympathetic. to York House. So I'd like to move the recommendation for approval.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Weber.
Just quickly, Chairman, similar buildings of a similar age with probably a higher status of being about it on being listed in York have been brought back into use successfully, and they've enhanced themselves, they've enhanced the city, and they've enhanced the community. And I think this is going to happen here as well. So I'm very pleased to support this.
Thank you. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote. Thank you again. That's unanimous. It is approved. Agenda item 10, application number 16/00212/full. The application site again is York House and Unit 10A, rear of Yorkers Gate, Malton. The proposal is change of use of ground floor of York House together with erection of a temporary events tent with wooden steps, toilets within the gardens to York House, and erection of temporary toilet block within York House yard with all associated service connections, together with use of Unit 10A, rear of 37 Yorkers Gate, as an associated temporary kitchen to include new door opening.
Thank you, Chairman. I think if members sort of regard this as the sort of first phase application of getting from A to B, it's obviously an enormous undertaking. And in that sense, this application seeks consent just for a temporary period, largely to deal with, in the main, the marquee that you can see in the foreground. It's at a slightly lower level and slightly further away from York House, but there are also temporary kitchen and toilets as part of that proposal. And at the same time, quite a lot of work is going on to the external of York House, and also really just putting together the wedding infrastructure inside the building, including the ground floor of York House. So this application is submitted on a temporary basis, and in essence, I think there has been some comment from Heritage England, that they're happy for a two-year period. However, it's taken us 6 months to get here. So essentially we need a three-year permission to sort of get from A to B. I think that's the gist of the applicant's position. In essence, I don't think as planning officers we have a huge issue with that, Chairman. What's required is a three-year period, then we would recommend that to you, Chairman. I'm not going to show you the photographs again, Chairman. You've seen them all. We're happy to recommend approval to this scheme on a temporary basis. There have been some particular nuances with the marquee structure, but actually the noise assessment information has been very much the same approach for both applications. So, again, environmental health officers are happy, subject to the same suite of conditions controlling the buildings and grounds as proposed for the full scheme, Chairman. Nothing more to add at this stage.
Okay, we've got the applicant again, Mr. Garland. I wish no. Okay, thank you. So we'll move to any questions again on this one. No, Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I'd like to move this application. No problems with the temporary building, because that is how we're going to get to the end, really, the end project, so no problems at all.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
I'm happy to support that and second that.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval. I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you once again. That's unanimous. It is approved. And agenda item 11 is the listed building consent for the previous application. So, Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Yeah, again, I'd like to move that, Chairman. And I would just like to say, you know, thank you very, very much to the applicants for bringing this for us to have the privilege of passing tonight, but also for the residents and, of Malton and surrounding area. I think it's going to be a huge boost to the area.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval. I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Now move on to agenda item 12. The application number is 16/00435/full. The application site is land to the rear of Park View, Finkel Street, Sheriff Hutton. The proposal is for the erection of two number four-bedroom detached dwellings with detached double garages together with formation of vehicular access.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few updates on this one. Members will note that there are a lot of different views in terms of the width of the access proposed. Officers are, however, satisfied that the determination can be passed on the information that has been submitted by the agent, both in terms of the submission and today we've received further documentation showing the land under their ownership. Notwithstanding this, Highways have recommended a condition, which condition 10 states that this development cannot commence unless the access road is first brought into the use up to the standard that has been shown on the submitted plans. I'd also like to update you that Yorkshire Water have raised no objection to the application. And I think I'll just go through some photographs now because I think we've got a couple of speakers. Thank you. So this is the application site here. Just right in the middle of Sheriff Hutton, you've got Finkel Street, which wraps around it and then leaves out towards that way. This is the current access to the site. As you can see, it's presently a grass field and the access represents that. This is just to show the site in connection with Sheriff Hutton Castle. A close-up version of it. As you can see, the site isn't heavily used at the moment. I think it's grazed, a Shetland pony currently grazes the site. And the current boundary is very overgrown and established. The applicant is stating that their ownership means that this site, the access can be widened to 3.1 metres and the actual access road itself extended to 3.6 metres in width, which they are, the understanding is within their ownership. This just further shows the site presently, as you can see, heavily overgrown, lots of boundary treatment at the present. So this is the northern boundary of the application site, so at the very top. As you'll note from the officer's report, the site actually rises quite significantly by about 5 metres across the total length of the site, which is 79 metres. So this is looking back towards, so you've got Finkel Street down there, which is just to the south. You've got the properties to Castle Side to the west, but to the right of this photograph. Those properties are a mix of dormers and bungalows. And then to the left there is some amenity space. That's just a further close-up picture of the boundary hedge. You may recall that World Ecology have recommended that due to the species-rich nature of this hedgerow, it should be retained. So there's the benefits from that from an ecology point of view, but also it does shield the neighbours from Castleside quite significantly from the development. So a bit of a bright morning. So this is the Sheriff Hutton Castle, as you can see in the shadows. Existing boundary hedge here. This is a closer up property. This is Park View. These are the properties up front, Finkel Street. And this is their single story outbuilding that I referred to in the officer's report. Looking back up at the site. So this is just a picture from Finkel Street. I think it's from the east looking across the site. There are glimpses of Sheriff Hutton through the development. Pardon? Oh, yeah, Sheriff Hutton Castle, sorry. Pre-development site. But what this photograph highlights is that the views of the castle throughout Sheriff Hutton are seen in the context of other residential dwellings. There has been some comments that this is backland development and not necessarily in accordance with policy SP2. However, what the next series of photographs are just seeking to show that there is a lot of in-depth development within Sheriff Hutton. It's not a linear form, and this development won't therefore have an impact on the character and form of the village. So it's just a few photographs to show that you do catch glimpses of properties behind other properties, and due to the topography of the settlement, they are tend to be at a higher level. And this is just a view from one of the neighbours' property that's got a greenhouse, which actually is, it appears to be within the boundary of the site, but it is actually not part of the application site. And this is a view from the property to the north, which a neighbour has provided us just to give, I suppose, a more clear approach of the difference in levels from the north of the site back down to Finkel Street.
Thank you. We do have two speakers on this one. Firstly, the objector, David Newman, please. Thank you. You've got 3 minutes, and I'll give you a 30-second audible warning.
Okay, thank you. Okay. We are opposed to this development for the following reasons. Neighbouring properties will be adversely affected. 11 properties will suffer reduced privacy, including overlooked bedrooms. We have provided the planning officer with evidence confirming that the existing boundary fences and hedges are correctly located, as indicated by our documentation. The housing estate comprising Castleside and other roads was built from 1966, and if there was an issue regarding boundaries, it should have been dealt with at that time, not now. The surrounding landowners have had quiet enjoyment of their properties for the last 50 years. The awarding of this judgment to the owners of the site seems to contain an implied threat to those landowners on either side of the access road that there will be an attempt at land grabbing, despite each householder possessing documentary evidence that they have good title to their individual pieces of land. Given the narrow width of the access road, construction activity so close to surrounding hedges and fences is likely to cause damage. The householders require assurance that any such damage will result in compensation. Each objector will seek to protect their properties from so-called accidental damage and any attempt at land grab. Dealing with possible realignment of boundaries and any legal ramifications of that post-determination looks like a deliberate attempt to create a boundary dispute when that all is needed is a recognition that the planning authorities that granted permission for the new estate in 1966 had actually done their job efficiently in the first place. We note that the countryside officer recommended that during the construction period it is important that a root protection exclusion zone is in place adjacent to any hedgerow. This must be at least 5 metres from the centre of the hedge, the species-rich hedgerows and trees along all boundaries be retained, and that a 3-metre grass margin adjacent to hedges within the site should be respected. In conclusion, we cannot see how planning permission could be granted when the plans provided do not make any attempt to allow for this. And indeed, it would not be possible to gain access to the site with vehicles and machinery without undermining hedgerows, trees, and fences of neighbouring properties. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next speaker is the urgent Mark Newby, please. Again, you've got 3 minutes, and I'll give you the 30-second audible warning.
Thank you, Chair. In support of the officer's recommendation for approval, we would ask members to consider the following points. The development of the site for two dwellings is not fully in accordance with policy SP2 of the Rydale Local Plan Strategy due to its backland nature. However, there are material considerations which are sufficient to find the principle of development acceptable. These are that the site is located within the development limits of Sheriff Hutton, which is a service village in the Rydale Local Plan Strategy where limited small-scale housing can be accommodated. That by virtue of the varied mix and of the nature and grain of the development in the village, and indeed other decisions within the immediate area in this respect, and based upon the impact upon the form and character of the area, together with the general presumption in favour of sustainable development contained within policy SP19, it's considered that the development of the site can be considered acceptable in principle. The proposed scheme is of an appropriate layout, design, scale and appearance such that it will not have an adverse impact on the character and appearance of the area. The proposed dwellings would provide an acceptable level of residential amenity for its occupiers and would not result in an unacceptable detrimental impact on neighbouring properties. The site does not lie in an area which is at risk from flooding, and it does not cause an increase in flooding elsewhere. There are no objections from the local highway authority with regards to the layout, access and visibility. In respect of the objections from neighbours regarding the access width, whilst this is not a planning matter, we have provided the officer, planning officer with a copy of a sale agreement which confirms that the legal width of the access is 12 feet or 3.6576 metres. There are no issues in respect of ecology. In respect of the community infrastructure levy, the applicant is happy with the charging arrangement. In conclusion, we submit that there are no other material considerations or sound planning reasons that would warrant refusal of the application. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to come back?
Hi, I'd just like to come back on one of the comments that the objector made in relation to the western boundary hedge. Just to be clear, World Ecology have only identified the western boundary hedge to be of species rich from where the access road has the passing place on up to the north of the site. It's not the entire west boundary.
Thank you. Any questions for the officer? Councillor Hope.
Yeah, sorry, Helen. Can you just explain that again? What you just said there.
It's probably going to be easier to show you from where the species-rich hedgerow starts. Bear with me. So this photograph probably shows it the best. So it starts from approximately here, so just where the access road starts to widen up, and it runs the entire length of the boundary here to the north. None of the other hedgerows are classified as being species rich in accordance with the World Ecology report that was submitted with the application.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Chairman, just a couple of questions. There's been some concern about the width of the drive or road, whatever we're going to call it, and when we look at the drive, it does look very narrow and small. But can you confirm, and I think we've been told there's no legal width, but can you confirm what is the norm for a two-bed driveway? Yeah.
Yeah, and just getting the highways comments, because highways had obviously raised concerns initially to the proposal and then raised no objection. I did get them to clarify exactly why, and I suppose to address a lot of the neighbours' concerns directly. I'm just trying to find.
Well, I can. There's another question if you want.
Oh, no, got it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so. Steve Boyne, the highways officer, has confirmed that the short sections of access at a width, maybe 2 seconds. Yeah, the highways officer has confirmed that given that the actual narrowest point of the access road is only approximately 45 metres, it is a workable distance to enable two properties to be served and to be served by any emergency vehicles in terms of if a hose is needed to put out a fire, etc. So he is satisfied that from a highway safety point of view, given that the access is only to serve two properties, it won't result in any impact. I don't know what the standard condition is, what the standard distance is, but width is. But he has confirmed that in this case it is sufficient.
Thank you, because I think it's important that we clarify that, because there's been some muddying of the water and we need to know as a committee exactly what that is. And my second question was about it's not in the conservation area, but is it really, really near to the conservation area, or I'm just picking out that question really.
Yeah, it's not in terms of where the conservation area starts. I wonder if I... Yeah, it's at the start. There we are. So the conservation area is more centred around West End, end of Sheriff Hutton. These developments around here are more, yeah, the 70s, 80s development. I think someone, 60s, someone said they were for the network rail up around this area for the workers. So this is a much later addition to Sheriff Hutton, and I think that's part of the character and form, is that you do have this more in-depth development, whereas the conservation area part of Sheriff Hutton tends to be more linear in form, and the proportions of the properties are a lot smaller, where you do get larger properties along West End at this part here.
Thank you. Any more questions? Councillor Hope.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with highways again, as we usually do. Helen, are you telling me that if this, God forbid, does get passed, that the highways will stop it if the road isn't made, the entrance isn't made up to full specification?
Yeah.
Chairman, the wording of the highway condition first. So if they can't do that, they can't build, they can't start the building on the houses. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but and have they got those 2 years to get it right?
Sorry?
In the planning. Well, if it is passed tonight, how long have they got to get it right before?
It'll be a 3-year consent.
3 year, oh, crikey.
Well, every consent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think to emphasise how important the access is, and to ensure that the developer does make the access wide enough to enable to accommodate any vehicles, we are proposing an informative on, just to further highlight it to the developer that they do need to get this consent, like the highways consent, before they start the works.
Well, as I say, I'm going to disagree with them, because there's no way you'll get a fire engine up that driveway.
Wouldn't necessarily need to. I mean, the issue here is in terms of fire brigade hose length, as it were, is well in excess of 40 metres. But I think the issue here is in terms of highway safety. We're dealing with two dwellings off a private driveway. At one end it's got a passing space, and at the other end it's got a pull-on that's wide enough for a car to leave the carriageway. So in other words, whoever's going in can see somebody coming out, and whoever's coming out can see somebody coming in. And at the point where the passing space is at the top of the site, two vehicles can clearly pass each other. From a highway safety point of view, they're not interested, because it's not going to cause an accident on the highway. That's what you're dealing with, is highway safety here. And so that's what you've really got to think about. And whilst members will be aware, people have raised a lot of other issues, this is all about the access. This is all about the access, really, in terms of what judgment you make. And you've got to remember, it's for two dwellings. I think prior to this application, it was for three. And I think you can see why three dwellings of a similar sort of size and scale to what was being proposed now was thinking, well, what's the chances of more vehicles wanting to meet each other? Well, it's that bit more. We're now down to two, and highways are now saying, well, from a highway safety point of view, we don't think the probability of there being a problem is such that you should refuse this application. And they're our experts, whether we like their views or not, you know. And I know Sheriff Hutton seems to have an issue with the views of the highway authority. It did for the caravan park. We're still dealing with Packett Yard. But you've got to deal with what the scale of the development is and what the likelihood of the risk is. And this is two dwellings.
I'd just like to stand near the village hall and watch the speed of the cars coming down that corner. Somebody waiting to turn in.
But Chairman, that's, like if that. Somebody's not observing the speed limit, that's a policing issue,
yeah,
isn't it? You know, if that's in a 30 and somebody's doing 40, there's some enforcement needed. You can only work to the standards that you should be working to.
Yeah, but are we adding to the problems?
Well, the Highway Authority think not, obviously, because if they thought there was something unsafe, they wouldn't recommend approval to it.
Councillor Andrews.
It's just really to seek clarification. The first gentleman who spoke, I couldn't... I was listening, but there was a lot to take in. Is there a dispute on the ownership of some of the access lane? And have you got something to prove that it is owned by the people that are putting in the application, or is there going to be a war on who owns what?
Planning control is one control over the use of land. I can make a planning application on your property if I want to. All I'm required to do in terms of the law is serve you notice. And then whether I can build whatever I've applied for depends upon my agreement with you. And if I can't reach agreement, well, I can't build it. And we're in danger here of property law hitting planning law square on. When an applicant makes an application, they make a declaration as to whether or not they own or control the site, and they draw a red line around it. And in this case, that would involve somebody submitting a certificate, A, that says they own or control enough of the site to do what they've done on the drawing. That's been questioned. We've investigated that, and in my opinion, we've had evidence submitted to us that demonstrates the applicant do, as it would appear to suggest to us, own or control the land within the red line to a width of access that the highway authority would require them to do. And we could grant planning permission on that basis. If it transpires that actually somebody else comes out of the ether with more information that says, no, you can't, then condition 10 is worded in a way that prevents these buildings being built because they can't widen the access.
Councillor Weber.
Thank you, Chairman. Simple enough question. There's been a comment made about being overlooking for bedrooms. What mitigations are in place to prevent that? And is there a screening programme tied into this particular application?
Yeah, I mean, as the officer report states, the distances, the orientation and the boundary treatment and the proposed boundary treatment subject to a condition is such that we don't consider that the development would result in any adverse impact on any existing residential amenity. We acknowledge that there's nothing there now, and there's going to be proposed is two dwellings, so there is going to be something there, but we don't consider that subject to the mitigation, the existing boundary, orientation, topography levels, that there will be any window-to-window issue or that they would be adversely overlooked.
Could I have a supplementary then, please? The distance between the dwellings, have you any distances, because I haven't seen in here, as to what the distances are between some of the nearest dwellings to the proposed ones?
Yeah, it's all been set out within the officer's report in the section residential amenity under the subsection privacy and overbearing. I think it's
216. Councillor Moore, do you have a question? Can you put your mic on, please?
Yeah, sorry. It's not so many months since we approved, or it was approved, the access to a place off Middlecave, a very narrow lane leading to a couple of houses to be built, and that wasn't as straight as that. I mean, it was round a bend, and so that's quite straight as that one. Okay, that was all. It's only about a year ago that we 18 months that we approved something like that.
Thank you. Any more questions? No. Okay, we'll move into debate. Local member, Councillor Hope.
Thank you, Chairman. As you may have gathered, I'm not happy. This site has been refused by the parish council on grounds here. They're not in respect of need of Sheriff Hutton. The scale is intrusive and loss of privacy. Development poses a risk to the highway users, which from Castleside to the corner, Gary's laughing, I know, but from Castleside to the corner, there are 8 exits and entrance onto that road. It's poor drainage, and the parish council put all that in. Do we not listen to the parish councils nowadays? Because they've refused it, but nobody seems to listen. four bedrooms are not needed at Cherryfoot, and they're too big. We want smaller houses, I think, but I'm not happy, and I'll be looking for a site visit on this.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Mrs. Burke.
I'll be the one that puts my head above the parapet. So, first of all, it's never ever easy when development sites come forward. And what we've got to do as a planning committee is we've got to look at this sensibly, and we've got to look at it in the remit of the planning training that we've all partaken in. So, first of all, we've talked a lot tonight about boundary disputes, and that was raised by you, Councillor. And this clearly is not a matter for us, as has been pointed out, because if that land isn't owned by who it says it's owned by, that will not get built. So I think we need to quash that one, because the Speaker did very eloquently say, made it quite clear that they would proceed and they would make sure that they would take this further. So I have every confidence that they will do this if that land is not in the ownership of who they say it is. So are houses needed? Ward member said, I'm not sure we need those houses. So would you have preferred maybe that we put 5 2 beds on there? You know, it's a balance, isn't it? 4 beds, 2 beds, but we get more on because the plot is quite large. If you look at page 232, it is a big plot. Is it backland development? Well, when you look at it, there's so much development round it, it's just a natural progression of what is there at the moment. And as I say, I think the applicants have been quite generous in saying we'll only have 2 because, you know, it is very, very generous to what we're having to put up with in, say, Moulton, Pickering, Norton, you know, how small the plots are. So that's my other take on this. And as I say, referring back to all the planning guidance and seminars that we've had to go on. The third and final thing is about the width. Now, when you look at those pictures, you look in horror and think that's absolutely ridiculous. But I feel confident that our planners have said, well, if the width can't be to what Mr. Boyne said it needed to be, and that was over 3 metres, and with a pass, then the buildings will not proceed. So I know you as ward member, and I do respect your views. You're very worried about this, but it won't happen if that can't be done. So I think you've got a caveat there that, you know, it won't happen if that isn't wide enough. So, as I say, I know that the villagers aren't happy about it, and we get this all the time. You know, as I say, in Moulton we get it, in Norton we get it, about houses. You know, we've got a lack of housing. We need to progress. We need to make sure that we're within the laws. You know, we've got to look at the planning inspectorate. What are they looking at? And I think our officers have made the right recommendation, although I know that our ward member will not be happy about this. So I am going to move this for approval. And I think with all the caveats that we've put in place, and we've talked about a lot of those tonight, I think we've done our absolute best, you know, for this application and the residents. And as I say, it's never easy whether you're in the village of Thorntleydale, Cherryfootton, middle of Moulton, Norton, anywhere. It's a tough call when there's new houses being built. But as I say, Councillor, would you prefer, you know, 5 2 beds on two beds on there? Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. So that's what you've got to think about.
Yeah, it'd be a lot better.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, that's not what's...
Exactly, that's not what's come forward, so you should have maybe pushed for that.
Gary, do you want to...
Chairman, this planning committee and myself as head of planning and housing, when I'm dealing with the decisions you delegate to me, have to deal with the applications that are before us, not the ones that we might like to see. So that's the first point. But tonight you've got 11 applications on this agenda, and they're either on because they're major, and in other words, big enough so the planning committee ought to be making those decisions, or they're on because it's from a councillor, and it's only right and proper that you should make those decisions, or they're on because somebody else disagrees with the recommendation. And that will either be a neighbour or a group of neighbours or a parish or a town council or both. You've got both here. But actually, of those 11 applications you've got on committee tonight, there are only two where the parish or town council is actually disagreeing with the officer recommendation. This is one of them. So to suggest that what the parish council thinks doesn't matter, which I think is what you said, is not correct. But we, as planners, didn't go into this profession to win popularity contests. We went into it to make the right planning decisions, actually. And this is a massive site in comparison with what is being proposed to go on it. It's in a service village, and the response to the limitations that this site has, which is its access, is to limit the number of dwellings using it. Now, if you put 5 2- or 3-bedroom dwellings on there, that access will be used a hell of a lot more than for 2 big dwellings. That's the fact of the matter. Even a small dwelling will generate 6, 7, or 8 movements a day. You think about that in terms of what's going up and down that access. So that's what you've got to think about in terms of highway safety, because the site in itself, if it was on the road frontage, you'd be looking at a heck of a lot more. You really would. But actually, the limitation is the access. People have raised all sorts of other issues, which, to my mind, you know, yes, people may have a view about the view of the castle, but we've looked at that, and we don't think the view of the castle from this site is a major consideration. And Helen's shown you what the views of the castle are and can be in the built-up area. People have raised comments about drainage, and the drainage authorities aren't objecting, so you have to... At the end of the day, we have to, at the end of the day, give you our best professional recommendation. And that's what we've given you. We didn't ask for you to like it, but that's what we've given you is the professional recommendation. Because if we refuse it, the applicants will become the appellants. That's what will happen. That's what will happen. And we will, in all probability, lose the appeal, whether it's popular locally or not. And as a responsible planning authority, be it me or be it the planning committee, we have to bear that in mind.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Roper.
Thank you, Chairman. If there is a legal dispute, that is absolutely nothing to do with us as a planning committee. It's to do with people taking litigation out of their own behalf in a court of law. And that court of law will determine who owns what and where. An applicant can make an application for any piece of land, whether it's in their own ownership or not. That is fact. The other fact is, when everybody makes an application, there are winners, or perceived winners and perceived losers. And it doesn't matter what the application is or which way the determination goes, the same rule applies. Somebody feels that they win and somebody will feel that they've lost. That's the nature of the beast that we deal with. And if you haven't got a thick enough skin to cope with that one, you shouldn't be on this committee. The access for this site is limitation positive for the number of dwellings it can carry. It can't carry any further dwellings than 2 because the highways would object because of the number of movements that would take place up and down that lane onto the highway. Had this opening been contributing to highway hazard as an extra one, they would have refused. So it doesn't matter how many openings there are on that road from other sites or other dwellings onto the main road just there, it's irrelevant as for this application. The distances between the dwellings and the existing occupied dwellings there to the proposal for the 2 more is substantial.
I have villages in my own patch that have dwellings that are far, far closer in visual terms and far more intrusive in visual terms than what we've got with this particular site here. So I am fairly comfortable with the thought that this application is acceptable in planning terms, and I will second approval. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've looked really carefully at this application, and I hear entirely what my colleague, Councillor Hope, has to say about it. But equally, I haven't found a good enough reason to say no. And if we said no, we'd be liable for an appeal. And actually, I don't think we can win it. So on that basis, I've got to support the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I will put that to the vote. Thank you. That's 9 in favour and 1 against. It is approved. Agenda item 13, application number 16/00514/full. Application site is Wintringham Common Farm, Moulton Road, West Knapton. Proposal is for the change of use, partial rebuilding and extension of agricultural buildings to form 24 number additional dog boarding kennels with attached individual covered exercise areas, office and food preparation area, change of use of detached building to an isolation block comprising 8 number kennels and open plan exercise pound, change of use of detached building to a covered dog exercise area to include sheeting over the open eastern gable end, change of use of building that abuts the proposed kennels to a covered dog exercise area, use of adjacent grass paddocks as outside dog exercising areas and for dog agility classes and formation of visitors parking area. Part retrospective application. Thank you.
Chairman, I promise I'll have a word with Colin Douthwaite first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
I think we've one of the most bizarre descriptions of development ever on a planning committee agenda. I do apologise. I hope the gist of that is that you've got that some of it is partly retrospective and some of it is applied for. You'll probably notice from the registration number on the application that we've actually had this application a while. And the reason we've had it a while is because of the issue that we sometimes find with kennels, which is that of noise. And no surprise, that has been an issue here. And the Environmental Health Officer, independently of the planning application, has previously had some complaints about noise from the site. Having said that, as members will see from the agenda papers and the site location plans on pages 261 and, according to myself now, 262, 263, there is also a sort of Google image there just to show you the relationship of the site in relation to then the adjacent farmsteads, which are sort of scattered, but dependent on, I suppose, the particular direction of any wind on any one day, you might hear the dogs more than on other occasions. Having said that, the site, just to completely orient people, is if you're going across the railway line at the Maltings, the Knapton Maltings, so you're heading north over there, the access track is actually almost immediately as you cross over there, and as you can see from the location plan on page 261, it's quite a long access way from the highway to actually get to the premises. The kennels actually do also provide kennelling for the Rydale Dog Rescue, so that they're not just a commercial kennels in that sense, and that. Ordinarily you think, well, it's not that relevant, but actually part of the kennels which are for the, shall we say, longer term inmates are actually being proposed on the more noise sensitive boundaries because they're not visited so regularly and therefore don't kick off with noise. some of the existing noise problems have been due to the configuration of the buildings on site. So where visitors would come into the site, the dogs could still see them, and then there would be disturbance. So the configuration that you see on page 265 there has in part been proposed to be changed so that the entrance and visitors are not seen by as many dogs, so then it doesn't kick off. In terms of the drawing of the layout on page 265, it's unfortunate that that's twisted through 90 degrees compared with all the other plans that you're looking at. But what it does identify on that drawing are areas where the new kennels are, which are on the eastern side of the site. And also, as you can see, although it's further to the sort of southwestern group part of the grouping of buildings, there is an existing building which is used as a covered exercise area, which is quite open-sided. And you'll notice on the plan there that they're proposing barrier fencing adjacent to that open-sided building, which is a covered exercise area. And the Environmental Health Officer's comments are also requiring acoustic fencing on the barrier, on the boundary of the site with where the new kennels are proposed. So with that in mind, as you'll have seen from the officer report, it's been very much a discussion to get to where we've got to today. There is a further letter on the late pages from the occupier of Woth. Sorry, get it a minute. Get the right one. I think it's, sorry, Napton Lodge, which has continued to state that on occasions there are noise issues here. But this application does actually propose steps to alleviate that noise, Chairman. So that's the position we currently find ourselves at. The Environmental Health Officer, again, is making reference to submission of noise management plans as well. I think having spoken to the Environmental Health Officer again this afternoon in the light of the late page letter, she has perhaps looked at that noise management plan, which on the agenda papers, I'll just get that for you, talks about, it's condition 4, talks about that management plan being updated and makes a reference to every 2 years. Is suggesting that in the first instance that probably ought to be a year rather than waiting 2 years. And that doesn't mean that even if the management plan was signed up to, that if we received a complaint they wouldn't look into it under noise nuisance. I think because of the nature of the toing and froing on this and the comments that we've got, I think the balance from the Environmental Health Officer is perhaps towards a 12-month review of that rather than 2 years in the first instance at least. I do have some photographs, so I can show you the accommodation and the buildings on site. So I'll just do that now. I don't think we have a speaker on this one, Chairman. So again, this is the sort of view. I'll try and do this whilst looking at the plan as well, Chairman, so I can look at you. So this is the view as you just turned off the public highway, Chairman. So you're just looking up, and you can just see in the distance, coming up this track, that the road then bears off right. And again, you're going way off up this track. You keep going. You're still going up the track. And you finally get to this. So this is the site. So it's a long way off up the track. This is the covered exercise building that I was just talking about, which is shown as the square block on page 265. So if you're able to enlarge that on your iPad, you will see it says building used as covered dog exercise area. Yeah. So you've got the farmhouse behind, and what's being proposed is actually the sort of access road coming round here and round the back. Okay. So this is the area where it says paddock area used for exercising, which is occasional. The most of the dog exercising is actually inside the building. I think that's probably about it in terms of the photo. This gives you an idea of how open it is at the moment. If you look on the plan, there's a proposal to do a barrier in front of this elevation. And that's just a further view further back. And this is coming round to the other kennel. Sorry. We've got these all numbered up, Chairman, and then I'm not dealing with them. So this is the area where there is like an existing kennel, and the new kennels would be located on this side of the site. So again, I hope you get a feel for the at the moment. Absolutely, these have came out quite dark on the screen, Chairman. So I hope you get a feel for the sort of nature of the buildings that form the complex. And here's some of the existing kennelling with the farmhouse behind. And again, a view back down the access track. So that's it, Chairman, really. I say partly retrospective, partly proposed development. A series of conditions, really, which seek to control the principal issue, which is that of noise.
Thank you. Any questions for the officer? Nope. Okay. Is this your patch, John, or no? It must be about near yours, then, Brian.
Do we have a speaker?
No.
Reading through the correspondence. There's quite a lot of support for this, even from our local county councillor. Okay, it's a dog there, apparently. And I'm a dog lover. I probably should declare an interest, but I wouldn't want dogs to be kennelled near me. But a few years ago now, we had a kennels approved in my parish, and for 72 dogs, and everyone around sent in letters of support, hoping that it would go ahead. And then when it was approved, they were ringing me saying, "How did this get through? You know, we supported it, but we didn't really want it." And I said, "Well, I didn't want it. It was your letters that got it through." But this one is located in a far better place. A lot, you know, it's in a situation similar to where I am myself. My nearest neighbour is about 600 metres away. And whilst they did say they heard me sneeze one day, that's what happens in the countryside. Sound travels a long way. But if you can't have the kennels in an area like this, where on earth can you have them? But I do hope that they you know, they do something to minimise the amount of the sound by this here barrier that, or whatever it is that's going to happen within 12 months. So with that condition, I'd be quite happy to approve this.
Chairman, it just goes to show, I think, that even in a remote location, you still have potentially noise-sensitive receptors, even if they're 300 or 400 yards away. If the wind's blowing in the right direction, or it's late at night or whatever, then there is the potential for noise. And I think in a remote location like this is clearly has less potential for complaint than in the heart of a village or a town or wherever. But nevertheless, it still remains. And I think officers and the environmental health officer and the agent have worked on this to try and come up with answers to problems. And there is an extent of, well, looking at and see in terms of the noise management plan and then reviewing that. And that's why I think on reflection the environmental health officers are thinking, well, we could probably do reviewing that after the first year and just seeing whether we need tuning then. I'm sure we'll be the first to know if it isn't working. As Councillor Maud said, in general terms, if you can't put it here, well where can you put one?
Councillor Roper.
Thank you, Chairman. Modern acoustic methods can mitigate a huge amount of barking. I've seen, and I know that the Dogs Trust out near Leeds, if you go and visit in there, you can stand on one side of a glass paddle and the dog's barking on the other side of it and you can't hear a thing. And you stood a couple of foot from it. So there are ways and means, it depends how much finance you want to put into it, to actually bring it down to absolute zero on the noise emissions. That square building exercise yard does need something doing with it to close it in and stop the noise from getting out. But then again, you take a dog out from its kennel to that location and it can bark its head off all the way across. And what can you do then besides absolutely nothing other than hurry up? So this site is remote. It is well off the beaten track and well away from a lot of other people. And that's its saving grace. So I will second Councillor Maud on his proposal to that this is acceptable, with that caveat that in a year's time we revisit and look at what noise emissions have we heard about, and I'm pretty sure that people will soon let us know if there is something amiss. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote. Thank you, that's unanimous. It is approved. Agenda item 14, application number 16/00900/House. The application site is Fairfax House, Mill Lane, Ampleforth. The proposal is for the erection of a two-storey extension to rear elevation, single-storey extension to side elevation, and detached two-storey garage stroke workshop to include ancillary accommodation above, together with the erection of a 1.1 metre high timber post and rail boundary fence and electric entrance gates following demolition of existing extension and outbuildings.
Thank you, Chairman. There's just a few things I'd like to update members about. You'll note the highway comments on the late pages. A revised plan has been submitted showing the revised positioning of the boundary fence, which tapers away from the existing access to ensure the visibility is not obstructed. Furthermore, it has been agreed to delay the resurfacing of the existing access until construction works have been completed and the condition will be reworded to that effect. Members will also note from the late pages that a letter has been sent in from the applicant outlining the history of the site and how they consider that this application will restore the property and it's an opportunity to enhance the locality. I'll now show you some photographs of the site. I should probably note it's for members this evening as there's an outstanding objection from the Parish Council and also some comments from the AOMB manager. So just in terms of context, obviously this is the main Ampleforth village, this is Mill Lane to the south, and this is the application site of Fairfax House here. This is just a view looking down Mill Lane towards the application site in the distance. You can see here, this is the timber post and rail fence that has been erected, and you can just see glimpses of the property in the background. There's going to be some reconfiguration here for a more traditional pitched roof porch. Again, just a close-up of the property. This is stood at the access, so here you can see that this part of the boundary fence will be positioned further back to increase the visibility splays when coming out of the access. This is just looking to the south. This is Watergate House. This is where the entrance gates will be positioned. There'll be stone piers to either side, and there'll be some low-level lighting that will be come on when a vehicle approaches the gate. I think here you can see that there's a real mix of materials on the existing house. I think it's safe to say it's been neglected for some time, which you'll see from some of my later pictures as well. This will be removed, and this is the single story side extension will be positioned here. This is just to the south. This will be the immediate domestic curtilage, because I think you'll note that the extent of the red line is quite large, but in terms of what will be private domestic curtilage, it will be to the immediate south of the property. This is the back of the property, so there's going to be some reconfigurations. This is where you'll have the sort of two-storey cross wing off the back. This outbuilding will be removed, and this will be the position of the two-storey garage block with ancillary accommodation above. Again, this is, you know, the range of outbuildings that are proposed to be demolished. There is a pond to the back of the property, and you'll note from the conditions that an ecological survey was submitted and the countryside officer has advised that that is adhered to as part of the application. Again, just looking back to the site, you know, most of these, well, all of these outbuildings will be demolished. This is to the north of the application site. It's an existing agricultural building that I think probably some time ago was part of the whole site, but has been, you know, in separate ownership now. I think that's everything. I just think in terms of, you'll see the comments from the parish council and you'll see the comments that have been raised, you know, by the applicants counteracting that. So, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions on this one? I'm just looking to see if we have a speaker, but we don't. No. Any questions? No? Okay. Well, we don't have the local member here, but I think it's fairly close to my patch. So, looking at the photographs there, and I think there's going to be a general improvement in this one, and quite honestly, I can't see any problem whatsoever. I mean, the sight lines, the fence at the front's going to be moved back to make the sight lines better, so that's better for the highway's perspective, and I'll move approval. Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. Bit of a nostalgia here. I used to get my chickens hatched down at this place. Ooh. Believe it or not.
Is that relevant, Chairman?
And this house has been in this condition for years, and it'll be a nice change to see something done, made look a lot better than what it is. And I'll second your approval.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you very much for your presentation. That was really good. Thank you very much. First of all, I've had to read the parish council's response 5 times. I really have, and I'm not trying to be... I'm thinking, what? First of all, we look at this, and no disrespect to me, everyone's got their views. We look at this, and as Councillor Hope said, you know, it really is in need, and it's been like that for a long, long time. So, you know, welcome all the improvements to the building, etc., etc. Seeing where it is, seeing where it's positioned, I was looking for all the houses that are around it and everything, and then I read that Ampleforth Parish Council object to it. It would have large visual impact on the village. And electric gates aren't in keeping. Well, honestly, I'm really baffled with that. I mean, are we allowed to say we refuse because we don't like electric gates, because I need to hold my hand up, I've got some. I mean, I just sometimes wonder. Well, seeing as though we're all saying interest, but no, you know, this is a genuine improvement of a dwelling where somebody wants to live and spend money and, you know, have improve their lifestyle. And, you know, the parish are objecting, which is a shame, really. But as I say, you know, everyone has their views, and that is absolutely up to them. So I was going to second it, but Councillor Hope has. So I really, really do like this development.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Ripper.
Just quickly, Chairman. I agree with everything that's been said by Councillor Burr. This is officer delegated territory and should have stayed there. But as you said earlier on, it's been objected to, it has to come to us, which is a shame. I'll be glad to see that little bit of mess that's at the back of the house disappear down the pan, quite honestly.
And if this building the history would be lost, then good riddance to it. Because the history that will be created by what the applicant wants will enhance this particular building and create a new history that would be acceptable to everyone concerned. So I'm going to support it as well.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Farnell.
Thank you. I wasn't going to speak on this application, but Mr. Raper has incensed me with his comments. The gentleman who had this, as Mr. Hope said, my family used to get their breeding stock from there and their chickens and hens and geese, and he worked very hard and put all his energy into his business and not his property.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people do in this day and age, they can't afford to do both. And I would just like to have it on record that that's what Mr. Todd chose to do, was to put it into his business rather than his property.
Thank you. Okay, it has been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote before you start fighting over that. Thank you, that's unanimous. It is approved. Agenda item 15, application number 16/01049/House. The application site is 2 Miller's Close, Norton, Malton. The proposal is for the erection of a two-storey side extension to east elevation with linking glass canopy to south elevation.
Thank you, Chair. This application is brought to members as a letter of objections being received from a neighbouring occupier. I'll now just show you some photographs. So the application site's in Norton. This is Lakeside Way, and there's a number of cul-de-sacs that run off Lakeside Way. So the application site is Miller's Close, so the application site's here. And I thought it was helpful just to put on where the objector lives. They live at 11 Millrace Close, and the black outlines the extent of their domestic curtilage. I think it's also helpful when looking at this photograph that in terms of the relationships between dwellings, it is quite a suburban area. You do have properties that are rear to rear, side to side, so I think it's quite a suburban layout here. So this is just the front of the existing property. Just pan round to the side where the two-storey extension is proposed. It will be set back from the... I think that's the side again. It will be set back from the front elevation and step down in ridge and eave height as well. I think it's important here just to note that this is 11 Millrace Close, the objector's site. This is just panning to the site. This is 4 Millers Close to the immediate east of the site. These photographs are taken from the objector's garden. So this is stood at the side looking directly north. This is where, if I just follow where the arrow will go, where the extension's proposed. This is just panning round again into the garden. And as you can see, there are three existing first floor windows on the property, and there's one further one proposed on the extension. Again, just a view from the garden. I think it's important to note that this is 4 Millers Close, and there is already a first floor window that looks into the garden of 11 Millrace Close. Similarly with the property to the side, another first floor window. This is sort of stood further back into the garden, again just looking across where the extension will be. So I think that's everything. I think we consider that in this instance there are three existing first floor windows and the addition of one won't necessarily have a material adverse impact upon the occupiers of 11 Mill Race Close. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We do have a speaker on this one. Oh, no, we don't have a speaker on this one. He's not here. Okay. Council, Mrs. Shields.
Thank you, Chairman.
Question. Are there any questions first before
it
we...
It is a question.
It is a question. That's fine. Please carry on.
On page 298, there is a diagrammatic drawing here showing where the applicant's area is. The numbering of the houses around here seems to be, you know, somebody's taken a sort of lot of numbers, thrown them in the air, and they've just landed. I can see where number 11 is. Can you tell me, is the one that is really closest to the boundary of number 2 and where the application is coming, is that number 4?
Yes, that's 4 Miller's Close.
Yeah, that's 4. And that is quite close. And we haven't had a letter from anybody. We have. Not from number 4. No, it's from number 11, isn't it? That's right. That sorts that out then. Thank you, Chairman. Yeah.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Mrs. Shields, the nearest part of their dwelling is their garage, so I think they don't have any living rooms near.
Oh, right. Yes. Thank you. I had no chance.
Any more questions? No. Okay, right. I believe you're the local member, Mrs. Shields.
Yes, I think I am. Thank you very much. Having looked at this, it seems to me that this is quite a good extension. I was a bit concerned about the original letter, but I don't see that number 11 is going to be really affected too much. The garden area that you showed in the picture there, in the photo, which way is that facing?
North.
Facing north anyhow, is it? Right. The Town Council discussed this at their meeting in July, I think, and approved it, and Norton Town Council does usually look at its applications that they come from Rydell very carefully, and they did look at this one very carefully because, again, there was the protest about from number 11. But I can't really see that there's going to be any harm done. There's quite a lot of space around there, and therefore I'm going to move approval, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I do apologise. I've just realised who this is, and she's recently got married, so it was the name change that confused me. So I just do want to declare an interest here, but it's not prejudicial at all. Okay, so let's get back to the application. This is what people are doing now. They're improving what they've got. And it's quite natural. If you've got a plot that can stand an extension, that is what a lot of people in towns in the country, that's what they're doing. So I see this no other than any other application that comes to us for a side extension. And I do think that I've been talking a lot tonight about small plots, etc., and blah, blah, blah. But this plot is actually quite substantial on a new estate. So that's really good. So I'd like to second that.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval. So I will put that to the vote. Thank you, that's unanimous. It is approved. Agenda item 16, application number 16/01236/73A, application site The Barn, Middleton Hall, Main Street, Middleton. Proposal is variation of condition 2 of approval dated 8/1/2008 to state the accommodation hereby permitted shall be and shall remain ancillary to the use of the dwelling currently known as Middleton Hall. It shall be used only by and in association with members of the family of the occupiers of that dwelling and as holiday accommodation. and it is a retrospective application.
Thank you, Chairman. There's no further updates on this application. It's only been reported to members because it is an application from a member, and we had to have, and we have had one letter of objection received, and I believe the objector's here to speak. Not the objector, the agent's here to speak. So I'll just quickly click through the photographs, and I'll let them speak. So this is the application site here, currently being occupied for the purpose of holiday homes. This is a garden associated with that property. And this is designated car parking spaces for both this application site and the adjacent van, which is also in holiday use as well. Further expansion. And this is the parking arrangement outside Middleton Hall itself. So there's designated car parking spaces. There's also additional car parking spaces. And then this is just the view from the main road looking back. So this is the adjacent agricultural barn. And the orange roof there is the application site. And that's all. Thank you.
We do have the agent, Lillian Coulson, please. Okay, you've got 3 minutes, and I'll give you a 30-second audible warning. Yeah, that's the one, thank you.
The Thorntons moved to Middleton Hall in 1996 and spent the next 15 years renovating the house and its outbuildings. All work to the listed building has been undertaken sympathetically and in accordance with the planning consents achieved, and there have never been any complaints or planning concerns regarding the quality of implementation. Planning consent was obtained for both Applestore Cottage and the Coach House to be converted into holiday accommodation, and the Noel's Cottages business was started in 2005. The children gradually left home, although one wanted to remain living independently in the barn, hence this application stating ancillary use only. He then changed his mind, leaving a newly converted cottage needing heating in residential use to help maintain it. So Noel Thornton added it to the holiday let portfolio. As none of the other cottages had residential occupancy conditions, nobody thought to recheck this consent. None of this has been done by stealth, as both national and local press have publicised the various awards won, and the cottages' availability have also been publicised and critiqued over the internet for many years. The Thorntons are now considering downsizing and consequently need a comprehensive planning schedule of the various consents achieved for any potential purchaser solicitor. In reviewing the planning history, I drew their attention to the occupancy restriction of the barn. Dr. Thornton's immediate reaction was to ask how best to remedy the breach, conscious that he has now been a councillor and planning committee member for the last 16 months. We all know that planning applications must be considered on their planning merits only, and that there must be valid reasons for any refusal, as has been discussed many times tonight. Both national and local plan policy support the holiday accommodation use, which helps support the local economy. The original occupancy condition was imposed due to potential neighbour amenity concerns. The barn has been used as holiday accommodation for the last 8 years without any complaint from neighbours to either the Thorntons or the council, nor any inferred restriction on the adjoining business. Therefore, this protection for both parties has not now found to be needed, and there is no objection from the neighbours to this application. There has been one objection to this retrospective application from someone living on the other side of Pickering. She quite rightly raises highways as a valid issue and is concerned that those staying at the barn do not park and cause congestion on the main road, the A170. North Yorkshire Highways has confirmed that they previously approved the plan showing parking for both Applestore Cottage and the barn, which accords with what happens on site, as you've seen from the photos, and there are therefore no highway concerns. And you've also seen the photos of other areas within the grounds. On this basis, there's never any reason for guests to park on the road, which would be far less convenient for them. On this basis, we welcome your consideration of the application today to resolve this retrospective breach, for which we apologise. My client also apologises that his daughter's getting married in 2 days, therefore he's got a pile of guests and can't leave the house and hence isn't with you today.
Thank you. That's your time. Any questions for the officer? No questions. Okay, we don't have the local member because his daughter's getting married apparently. So, Councillor Mrs. Burr?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. As we keep saying, we're all human.
I did raise my eyebrows, but then I thought, but it's been going on for so long. I think it is a genuine mistake, and it would never have come to light because of, obviously, a downsizing. Am I right in thinking that? But, yeah, I would say, you know, we don't like retrospective, and I know Councillor Goodrick's going to come in and say, we don't like retrospective. But, you know, I think we had one, not the last planning meeting, one before. We had it. Things happen. And I'd like to move it. Things happen.
Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. Retrospective is not a criminal offence. And I'm not being invited. I haven't been invited to the wedding. I don't know his daughter. But I'd be... You know, I'm sure he was innocent and everything else, and I'm quite happy to second approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, it has been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Well, nine, but... Agenda item 17 is 15/00107/UD, land at Croft Farm, the Lane, Gate Helmsley.
Thank you, Chairman. This was an application, or most of the development that we're now dealing with on the basis of this enforcement report was the subject of an application that was reported to the 2nd of August Planning Committee meeting but was withdrawn on the day or the day before the meeting, Chairman. It was recommended for approval, as you probably recall. For refusal. Since that time, Chairman, an additional caravan has appeared on the site, so it's sort of growing slightly. I know we didn't really get a chance to discuss the application last time because obviously it was withdrawn, but had we had a chance to show you the photographs of what was being proposed, which itself then was partly retrospective, to orient yourself, this is the A166. Balloon Tree, if you orient yourself, Gate Helmsley Village, and this is the road, the back road, off runs parallel to the main road and back out of the village, off up towards Upper Helmsley, and it's on a parcel of land on the way to Upper Helmsley, so that's where we are. That's the Balloon Tree. These?
I think it's just part of Balloon Trees. Kind of.
Well, it's part of where they grow. God knows how far back it goes. It goes back a long way, doesn't it? The site, as you can see, it's quite narrow and thin, typical sort of boarded gate entrance, and some hard standing areas. So it's quite well screened. But when you get into the depth of site, you start to see what's appeared. None of this has got consent. In fact, the application was actually also proposing an application for an amenity building. It's quite a big building. I think quite a few people who'd supported the scheme weren't immediately aware of the amenity building that was being applied for. But as you can see, this is the nature of what's on the site. And yet into the depth of the site, then you've got this... the parking areas, various gravelled, hard-standing areas, and the caravans, and none of that has got consent. It's within the Greenbelt, so obviously there are particular issues relating to development in Greenbelt, Chairman. But at the moment, we don't have an application to determine, and all of that's unauthorised. So we're recommending that you take enforcement action.
you. Councillor Weber.
Yeah, I'm assuming that this is somebody's trying to wiggle a way in to making a caravan or static caravan or parking site for year-round use, and they're in the green belt, and they haven't come forward with a proper application because they're just trying to wheedle away in. That's a huge assumption on my part. Am I anywhere near right?
I'm not going to make assumptions of what the intentions of the person was, and arguably, I think they had been allegedly led to believe it at one time in the past there had been a caravan on there once, and you know. But the essence of this is that all that I've just showed you hasn't got planning permission in the Greenbelt. The report wrestles with that. There are some human rights issues, as you'll have seen with the report, and the recommendation does reflect that.
Thank you for that, Gary. York are extremely keen and acutely aware of their green belt, and they're more keen on this particular aspect than we might otherwise be. But Gate Elms is what it is and where it is and how it is. And if they haven't got any gumption to come forward and say we'd like to do this here and get authorised or be told, well, you can't do that there and go away, then I think we need to jump down big boots first. Thank you.
Councillor Mrs Goodrick.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. It is within my area, my ward. Can I just ask for clarification, please, Gary? Because I am conscious that we have a young person involved in this who is in requirement of education, currently being homeschooled. Am I right in thinking that what you are suggesting is that we allow this development to stay there up until the completion of the education of that young person?
In effect, yes. The compliance period is 2 years. That is, the balance that's been struck in terms of all of the human rights matters, the care of the child matters, all of the equality issues. I have to say, in terms of my time at Rydale, I haven't come across many of these occasions in Rydale, but in a previous life I've come across a lot of this. And what I've tended to find is that the balancing act of the child, the needs of the child, has on occasion meant that the compliance periods for ordinarily removing a caravan, which you think, well, physically removing a caravan, you can shift that in a matter of days, actually requires a longer period to be considered to make that balancing act, which this report wrestles with. But there is the strong possibility that in doing that, then it may obviate the need for an appeal, because it takes the pressure off the appellant having to appeal because they've only got a month to play with. We won't know until we actually issue an enforcement notice as to what the outcome of that would be, as to whether or not there would be an appeal. There could be. But I think if there ever was, then the period for compliance would only just go to show that the authority had been reasonable in its deliberation on the matter. But essentially, yes, that's why it's a long period.
If I can just come back, because I've obviously been in consultation with the parish council and local residents in this matter, there are two caveats that they don't know whether they can ask for, and I don't know whether they can ask for. One of them is that, I don't really know how to do this, is that we have supporting evidence that the child is going to go to school, and that's the reason why they're being allowed to stay. Because if the child isn't entered into the school system, then why are we letting them stay? That's the first thing that they raised. And the second thing that they raised is that there must be absolutely no further development or siting of caravans or static caravans on this site during this 2-year period.
The schooling thing, really, be it home or say locally, it is almost... that's not irrelevant, but in the sense that the child is there at the age of 14 or whatever he will become shortly, will still have a schooling need, so we have to wrestle with that wherever the child lives. And so I think that is something that I think discussing that with Tim, who actually has worked in York and Harrogate elsewhere before doing this report, so has come across this issue before, and Anthony had concluded that, well, to deal with the child issue and to deal with the educational issues of the child, the settled home environment, whether it's a lawful home or not, is probably a key consideration to an inspector considering a compliance period. So I think 2 years would be seen to be reasonable in that circumstances. In terms of other development, well, we've already got one caravan in the period of time that it's taken us to not determine the last application because they withdrew it. So I can't sit here today and tell you by the time we issue an enforcement notice there won't be something else on there, or maybe it's even started doing the amenity building. And we will continue to monitor what's on the site because Tim comes in from York and occasionally he diverges down and looks in through Gate Helmsley, and that's what happens. As and when we serve an enforcement notice, it will pick up what we've described here. We're already on two caravans. We could end up, who knows. And the application was making an application for an amenity building. At the moment, there isn't an amenity building, and they withdrew their application for the amenity building. When we went back to them, because it was withdrawn out of the blue just shortly before the planning committee, the only explanation we got was, well, we've read your report and we've withdrawn it because we want to make a better case, which for me sounded like we want to string this out. And so we weren't prepared to do that. That's why we brought this enforcement report straight back to the next committee. I think if anything else happens, we will either spot it, or the parish will spot it, or a resident will spot it, or you will spot it, and we'll pick that up. If it means, because somebody gets totally out of order and starts putting silly amounts of things on, we will have to probably come back to you and say, look, this is where we've got to. Are you happy to carry on, enforcing down? I don't want to prejudge those decisions, but if anything else happened, I think that's what's likely to happen.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I think my questions have been asked, so I'll just wait until we get into debate. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm looking on page 341 at 615 on the unmet need paragraphs about what surplus we've got in travel accommodation at Tantara. And it's apparently the information's out of date, but there's possibly two pictures spare. Assuming that there are surplus, have we any responsibility whatsoever to accommodate anything from a gypsy travelling community at this application site?
I think if we, I suppose the danger is if we had a clearly unmet need that was substantial, that sort of almost counts against you about almost like not having your 5-year housing supply sort of argument. The Tara Park extension was very, very useful for us in terms of a local plan making sense, because we were able to go to the examination in public in 2013 or whenever it was and say, well, we've just approved and we're building another 7. We only had a need for 9 in the whole plan period, so we'd already got a 5-year need. We'd met what we need. And whilst that survey is slightly out of date, we're pretty confident we're not going to get caught short on not having a need. And because the overall survey at that time was saying, well, actually, total plan period at that time was only 9, we didn't need to be allocating a site for 2 pitches. It's a nonsensical amount to be doing allocations for. So, to deal with those as and when they come forward on an ad hoc basis would have been the reaction in the plan period, assuming the figure stays the same. But obviously you're continually reviewing things roughly every 5 years, and that's where we are now. I suppose the added dimension here is it's in the Greenbelt. There's very little of Rydale in Greenbelt, and he's chosen to put himself in it, so he's already in appropriate development, and it only applies to Wart Hill and Gate Helmsley. So immediately you've got a much more rigorous test, and I know from first-hand experience that inspectors are really given the lowdown on what happens in Greenbelt.
But I'm assuming that if we say, well, you can't do this here, we're on pretty safe ground.
Any more questions? No. Okay, I think you're the local member, Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, you know, I can only support the officer's recommendation and ask that this enforcement is progressed fairly rapidly. I don't want to see further development of the site. I am slightly worried that it will happen whether we enforce or not. There is a lot of local unease with it all, and it sets a very dangerous precedent with other members of the community not very happy that this is development on Greenbelt land when they specifically cannot develop their Greenbelt land. So I think we've got to get on with this and monitor it really closely over the next 2 years. As I say, I'd have preferred a youngster to have been in the education system properly rather than homeschooled, but that's not my decision. So if you would like to proceed, I'll certainly support the officer recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I would like to support the officer recommendation, and I will do that, but it's not acceptable to do this, and I think we all know this. And I think, you know, Gary, you are absolutely on it, but what really worries me, and as you know, I'm in education, this is starting to crop up where whoever they are, families are using children, and there is a massive safeguarding issue of what actually is going on there, and that's the thing that really worries me with this. You know, it's, oh, because the child's there, is the child getting schooled? I've heard a lot lately about homeschooling that doesn't exist. You know, we've got to be so careful and responsible as councillors. And what I'm saying, I want to support this, so Gary, I'd like you to go off and do whatever you do. But I think we need to pull in our safeguarding officers and, you know, this is serious because obviously there are children involved. And we have a duty of care to those children. And, you know, we need to be seen to be acting in the best interests of those children. So, yes, totally agree with everything that you say, but I think this council has got a bigger issue to look at. And I'll be confident to leave that with you, Gary, but I would like to maybe work with you on this one and just follow it through and just see, you know, what actually is happening with those children.
Separately outside of this, I mean, that sort of thing can be raised with the housing manager, and I'll take that up with Kim.
Thank you. Any Councillor Hope?
Yeah, just to support this one, I think it's... I've nearly got one similar in my own patch, and Gary will know about that one. So I do support this officer recommendation.
Okay, thank you. It has been moved and seconded for officer recommendation, so I'll put that to the vote. That is unanimous. We now move on to agenda item 18, which is application number 60, or not application number, 16/00060/UD, land east of High Street, Slingsby.
Thank you, Chairman. I think this one will be fairly brief. This site's in the conservation area at Slingsby. Six flags for 18 houses. And a sales centre for 18 houses, and they've already sold 13. You just wonder whether you need a sales centre, don't you? That's right at the corner of High Street and the B1257. So that was the restaurant, as was, on the main road, and it's lovely, isn't it? It's a nice little thing there. And that, this is looking down in, well, it's all in the conservation area, but it's looking down from the high road. This is to High Street, and this is the building site that's on the go at the moment behind it. To add to the insult, I think the sales centre is also partly on the approved builder's compound, which was approved under condition 24, so it's sitting on some of the staff car parking spaces. So you can imagine they're all parked up and down the road. All in all, not brilliant. The applicant's agent wishes me to report to you tonight that they have submitted a further application to re-site the sales cabin clear of the compound area and have made an application to display three flags. I said thank you for that information, but I'll still be asking members for enforcement authority tonight for the six flags and the sales cabin as currently on site, and we will determine your other applications, and we may or may not approve them, we may refuse them. So all I'm after for tonight really is enforcement authority and prosecution authority.
Any questions? No? No local member? Okay, I'll move officer recommendation.
I'll second that, Chairman, and I can confirm that those houses are selling like hotcakes due to the flags.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded for officer recommendation, so I'll put that to the vote. Thank you, that is unanimous. Agenda item 19, any other business the chairman decides is urgent. I have no urgent business. 20 is the list of applications determined under delegated powers, and 21 is the update on appeal decisions.
Actually, Chairman, it was a very brief but very good appeal decision, and I would, if members haven't had a chance to read it, I would recommend it. It was somebody who has permission for a relatively remote holiday lodge accommodation site off towards the, I'll call it Wrighton, but it's quite near the river there, and thought it would be a good idea to make an application to make 16 of the holiday units permanent residences, and the inspectors played it straight down the line. And given how many holiday lodge units we have, you know, you'd imagine the implications of that if that decision had gone wrong, so it was quite a good decision.
I live down that road, a little bit, a mile and a half further along from this particular site. The road to that particular point is wicked. It's narrow. It is a long straight, but with passing places. But once you get to that, where the site entrance is, it's on a very sharp bend, and vehicles come hurtling out of that site without any regard whatsoever as to what might be coming, traffic might be coming from their right as he emerged from the site. And I've nearly been hit on a couple of occasions now by traffic emerging from that site. But, for year-round residency, it might actually mitigate that particular aspect. It might have people living there that are a bit more respectful. These are visitors who couldn't give tuppence. But, okay, it's... not acceptable, so...
Councillor Mrs Goodrick.
Yeah, I was just curious about what happened with the house with the bats at Marish's.
Approved.
Okay, I declare this meeting closed and wish you a safe journey home.